Once again, we turn our focus, direct our attention to the Word of Christ in connection with Lord's Day 21 of our catechism. We turn, first of all, to Psalm 87, before looking also at 1 Peter chapters 1 and 2, looking at Christ's Holy Catholic Church this afternoon. First of all, Psalm 87. It is a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. On the holy mountain stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say, and of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the people, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. Let's turn also in God's Word to 1 Peter chapter 1. We can ring at verse 3 and read through verse 10 of chapter 2. Peter is writing to the elect exiles of the dispersion whom God has called out of this world to live as pilgrims, as exiles. As we've been hearing in our series of the Songs of Ascent, and the Apostle Peter writes these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or what time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. And the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. As He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is good. And as you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders reject has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Indeed, the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord remains forever. We turn also to Lord's Day 21. Look at the first question and answer of Lord's Day 21 this afternoon. Catechism, of course, is still taking us down the avenue of the Apostles' Creed. We've confessed God the Father, we've confessed the Son, we've confessed the Spirit, and now we confess the ongoing work of the Spirit in His church and our sanctification and our assurance of salvation. The first question is this: what do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? I believe that the Son of God, through His Word and Spirit, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member. This is the church's confession. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was R.B. Kuyper who once wrote in his masterful work, The Glorious Body of Christ, that the Word of God tells us that Christ's church is glorious. Not only does history ascribe to it a past that is in many respects glorious, and not only does prophecy predict for it a glorious future, but the Christian church is glorious in its very nature. Do we still believe that tonight, that the church in its very nature is glorious? Perhaps you recall when in Old Testament Israel, the Ark of God was captured by the Philistines. And how on that night, the daughter-in-law of the high priest Eli named her son Ichabod, meaning no glory, for the glory had departed from the land. And that name cast its shadow over Israel for many years. No glory, as long as the Ark of God was in the land of the Philistines. No glory until finally a king, after God's own heart, restored the Ark of God to a place of prominence in the city of God. Perhaps we sometimes wonder tonight if the same name might be written over the church today. Ichabod, no glory. Perhaps we wonder, has the glory of the Lord departed? Is the church of Christ still glorious? After all, we just sang a few moments ago, though with scornful wonder, men see her how? They see her sorely oppressed by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. The Church of Christ being made up of sinners like you and me doesn't always appear to be so glorious, does it? And yet, as unbelievable as it may at times appear to be, God's voice resounds in all the world with the words of Psalm 87, Zion founded on the mountain, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee, the most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. God's own city, who can all thy glories tell? God's own city, who can all thy glories tell? Much the same way in Psalm 48, the psalmist also speaks about Zion in a similar way. Zion as the city of God, saying, upon a hill God's city stands in glorious beauty raised. It is the city of the mighty King, the joy of all the earth. And so by the Spirit of Christ, the psalmist exclaims, Mount Zion's walls, behold, about her ramparts go, and number all the lofty towers that guard her from the foe. Observe her palaces, mark her defenses well, that to the children after you her glories you may tell. The psalmist speaks of the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own city, where He has chosen to dwell. And so as these, in the next few Lords, we want to take our cue from the psalmist. We want to walk about Zion. We want to walk about her ramparts. As we consider the glorious church of Christ from these different angles, beginning in question answer 54, we discover the church of Christ is an enduring community. That the church of Christ has been, from the beginning of the world and will be to the end thereof, Christ's community chosen for eternal life. We'll consider in the next couple of Lord's Days also how this glorious church is also Christ's gifted community. She has communion with Christ and how she shares in all His treasures and gifts and how she is also His forgiven community. That because of Christ's satisfaction, God will no longer remember any of her sins. He'll no longer hold any of her sins against her. But this evening we take up the first of these questions and answers and discover that Christ secures for Himself an enduring community. That's what we confess here in question and answer 54 of our catechism. And as we work our way through this question and answer, we're going to consider three things this evening. First of all, the church's saving foundation. Second of all, the church's spiritual formation. And finally, the church's certain future. In His amazing grace and mercy, Christ secures for Himself an enduring community. We confess, I believe that the Son of God, through His Word and Spirit, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its very end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen unto eternal life and united in true faith. This is the believer's confession. I believe that the Son of God, we need to pause there at the first line of our confession. Our confession of the church, you see, begins with Jesus, the Son of God. As we just sang a few moments ago, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven, He came and sought her to be His holy bride. And with His blood, He bought her. And for her life, He died. Jesus Himself, in His very person and work, is the church's saving foundation. We read this evening from Psalm 87, but if you turn the page back to Psalm 86, you'll notice the promise contained in verse 9. There, King David tells us that when the greater King to come has finally been established, King Jesus, all the nations that God has made shall come and worship before the Lord and bring glory to His name. And Psalm 87 speaks to us of what that glory will be. Even the likes of Rahab, the prostitute, and Babylon, the oppressor of Judah, even they shall be numbered among those who have been transformed and redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so when Psalm 87 opens with a reference to God's foundation, the spotlight is cast directly to Christ, who is the chief cornerstone upon which the whole structure is built up together and who is Himself the builder of the structure by His Word and Spirit. Yes, as the psalmist says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. He loves the dwelling place of Jacob among every other dwelling place. But He loves her so well because she is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. You may recall what the Lord Jesus once asked His disciples in Matthew 18 in that critical point in his earthly ministry. Before he goes on to explain the sufferings that he must endure, he asks the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And you'll remember the disciples responded. They gave the various opinions of the day. They said, "Well, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you're the prophet Jeremiah or some other prophet." But then Jesus said, "And who do you say that I am?" And I trust you all remember what Peter's monumental answer was. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus, upon the heels of that confession, says one preacher made a remarkable statement that echoes down throughout the quarters of time. A remarkable statement that has encouraged and strengthened God's people time and time again. A remarkable statement that has the power to adjust our thinking, to readjust our thinking about the Church of Christ. Jesus said, "I will build my church." He said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, I tell you, you are Peter, Petros. And upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church." Upon this rock, the rock of the apostolic witness and confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I wonder if here in this first letter to these elect exiles of the dispersion, if the Apostle Peter had those words still on his mind and written on his heart as he writes these words to these elect exiles. If he had that promise in mind, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," when he said, "As you come to Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." How wonderful, how glorious it is for you and me to be living members of this house, to be living stones whom Christ, by His Spirit and Word, is assembling together into this glorious temple. The dwelling place of God by His Spirit, as the Apostle Paul calls it. But how can we be sure that this house is not going to come crumbling down to the ground? How can we be sure that this spiritual house is stable, that it's not going anywhere? How can we be sure that this spiritual house is here to stay, that it will never be moved, that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it? We can be sure because this spiritual house is built upon a solid foundation. Any builder will tell you that a house or a building is really only as good as its foundation. If its foundation is bad, it doesn't really matter how beautiful the house is on the inside. If its foundation is bad, it doesn't matter how appealing that house is on the outside. If the foundation is bad, the house can't be trusted. It can't be reliable. It's not sturdy. It's not stable. Any house or building is only as good as its foundation. And that's certainly the case for this spiritual house. This spiritual house that is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be sure tonight that God isn't going to let this church go anywhere because this church is built upon the reliable foundation of the Son of God, on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. This stone, chosen and precious sight of God, rejected by men for sure, scorned by men, yes, despised by the world, yes, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. This is the foundation upon which God builds His church. And so we can be greatly encouraged by God's promise to us here in His Word. "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe." The apostle is speaking to the Spirit, to the house's stability. If you belong to this spiritual house, then you will never be put to shame. The honor is for you. If you belong to this spiritual house, you'll never find yourself members of a house that's crumbled to the ground because of the storms and earthquakes of life. Isn't that a great source of comfort for us this evening, that although we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, the Church of Christ will remain stable and secure? We live in a world of so much change, in a world of constant change. And our own lives are changing constantly, aren't they? Our bodies change. Our health has its ups and downs. Our relationships evolve. Our finances fluctuate. As one commentator puts it, life appears to be more of a flowing stream than a stable building. But we place our trust in Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who is also this chosen and precious cornerstone who supports Zion, the city of God, where God and His redeemed people dwell together. As we come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, we ourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. Christ Himself, you see, is not only the saving foundation of the church, but He is also the source of her spiritual formation. It's not, you see, that we're the ones doing the building, are we? But rather, we ourselves are the ones who are being built. We ourselves, like living stones, are being built together in this living house to be this holy priest, to offer up these spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Out of the heap of the rubble of fallen humanity, Christ by His Spirit caused us to be born again. And He formed us into this spiritual house. He doesn't take rocks and stones that were so lovely in themselves. He takes these dead, depraved, dud stones. And He forms them together into a spiritual house. As Peter says in verse 23 of chapter 1, you have been born again, not by a perishable seed, but of the imperishable, to the living and abiding Word of God. Here on Lord's Day 21, we confess that the church's spiritual formation is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We confess, I believe that the Son of God, through His Word and Spirit, are the entire human race. It's the Son of God who does this gathering, who does this protecting and preserving, who does this uniting us in true faith. Christ Himself secures this enduring community. Christ is the one who gathers. He is the one who protects and preserves, who calls His own out of that kingdom of darkness and into His marvelous light, as the Apostle Peter says. And that's what makes her so glorious. She's glorious because she's called out by one who is so glorious. She's glorious because she belongs to Christ. And Christ has been given all glory from the Father. The Apostle Paul tells us that God chose this church in Christ before the foundation of the world. And by His Word and Spirit, Christ accomplishes what the Father sent Him to do out of the entire human race. From the very beginning of the world, from the days of Adam and Eve, all the way to the end thereof, Christ fulfills this work by His Word and Spirit, gathering for Himself this enduring community. Christ gathers this that's united in true faith from all around the world, boys and girls. That's why we call it a holy Catholic church. Because God's grace is no longer limited to that just particular people of Israel in the Old Testament. As Psalm 87 tells us, it is expanded to include all nations. That Christ calls out of this world a church that surpasses all ages and all places. So that you and I belong to the same church as Adam and Eve. You and I belong to the same church as King David and Abraham and Isaac and all our spiritual forefathers. We belong to the same church of the Apostle Peter, upon whom Christ said he would build his church. We belong to this glorious church of Christ, as we also confess in Article 27 of the Belgic Confession. This church has existed from the beginning of the world and will last until the end, as it appears from the fact that Christ is an eternal King, and he will never be left without subjects. This holy church, we confess, is preserved by God against the rage of the whole world. Even though at times it may appear to be very small in the eyes of men, as though it were entirely snuffed out. But God forms her and preserves her. By his word and spirit, Jesus, the good shepherd, calls us by name. And because we are God's elect, chosen in him for the foundation of the world, we hear his voice and we follow after him. By his grace, we come to him, this living stone rejected by men. And he forms us into this glorious spiritual house. He makes us to be his chosen race. He makes us to be his holy nation, his royal priesthood, his special people of his own possession. And that's quite something, isn't it, people of God, that in virtue we confess here in Lord's Day 21, I can address you tonight as the people of God, as this holy nation, this special people of God, that once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. That once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Boys and girls, when I speak to you as the people of God or as congregation of Christ, that's not just preacher talk. That's not just fancy preacher talk for hey everybody or hey friends. I address you as the people of God because that's who you are. I address you as my brothers and sisters in Christ because in Christ we're part of that same spiritual family. The household of faith, this glorious, enduring community chosen for eternal life, united in true faith. Christ, of course, calls me to call his people to live in a certain way and to be a certain way. But he calls me to do that always in light of who you are as his people, as his special people, as those who have his hearts beating within them. As those who have been filled with his Spirit, as those who are God's people, of his special possession. His amazing grace and mercy by his word and spirit, you come to him. Not because you belong to yourself, but because you belong to him. That's why you come. To this living stone rejected by the world. That's why you don't stumble over this stone like the people of the world. But you come to him because you are his. Because you've been gathered by him. Protected and preserved by him. And by his word and spirit, you too, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Christ. Also simply to say, beloved, the formation of the church is not a fleshly business. But it's a spiritual business. It's not a brick and mortar kind of building that the world can look at and say, wow, what a glorious institution. But the Church of Christ is a spiritual house built upon the spiritual foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Apostle Peter tells us, so the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. In hardness of heart, the people of the world reject this cornerstone. They stumble over it because they don't have eyes to see it. because they don't have hearts to embrace it in faith. But through the imperishable seed of God's Word, by the powerful regeneration of His Spirit, Christ has given us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to embrace this precious cornerstone, which in God's sight is chosen and precious. And because of that, our eternal destiny has been forever wrapped up in the eternal destiny of Christ. Now, if we share in His sufferings, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, we will also share in His glory. That because we died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. Our eternal destiny becomes wrapped up in the destiny of Christ. Christ not only gathers, but He protects and preserves. This community, we confess, is chosen for eternal life. It will be until the end of the world. And of this community, the believer confesses, I am, and I always will be, a living member. The church of eternal destiny is certain and secure. Listen again to how the Apostle Paul says it in the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Comforting words for elect exiles. Comforting words for pilgrims and sojourns who are despised by the world, who are held in the lowest possible esteem. To know that in a world where everyone is storing up their treasures here, where thieves can enter and steal, where moth and rust destroy, to know that in a world that despises Christ and rages against the church of Christ, that the church of Christ has been born again to a living hope. Not a dead hope, like the dead hopes and aspirations of the world, but a living hope. Comforting words for elect exiles, for sojourners on the earth, to know that in this world where people store up treasures here, that we've been born again to a far greater inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, that's being kept in heaven for us. And that we ourselves being kept for that inheritance, as the Apostle says, by God's power, we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. God speaks to His church the same words with which He spoke by the prophet Isaiah so long ago. For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but My steadfast love shall not depart from you. My covenant of peace shall never be removed, says the Lord, for I will have compassion on you. This is God's message to the church, that mountains may fall away, but God's church remains. God's church endures till the end. Her future, our future, is certain. Of this community, I am and always will be a living member. Because even though we die, yet shall we live in glory. Do you believe that tonight, people of God? Of this community, you are and always, always will be a living member. It's not always easy to believe that, is it? Because sometimes our faith seems so weak and feeble. Sometimes in our struggle with sin, we wonder if our faith will somehow fail us in the end, or if it can really be said that we will be saved through so many trials. But as Peter assured his readers so long ago, so he also assures us tonight, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in what? In praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we'll sing in just a few moments, the church shall never perish. Her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish is with her to the end. Though there be those that hate her and false sons in her pale, against both foe and traitor, she ever shall prevail. We are attacked by trials on all kinds of different sides. Yet the Apostle Peter says that because we've been born again to this living hope, grafted into this enduring community, we can yet rejoice. In the midst of these trials, the Apostle Peter says to them that although you do not see him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is true of you tonight. That though you don't see him, you love him. That's why you long to be here rather than in your living rooms, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ, because you long to be with the people of Christ. Because God has called you out of the world into his marvelous light to be part of this people, this holy nation, to be assured with the comforting promise that nothing can destroy the church of Christ. COVID-19 can't destroy the church of Christ. Ungodly rulers in the world can't destroy the church of Christ. And we can't either. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against Christ's glorious church, because she is protected and preserved by him who sits on the throne at God's right hand, who waits for all enemies to be made a footstool for his feet. And on the last day, when he comes again to judge the living and the dead, only one institution remains. Only one house is left standing. And that's his holy Catholic Church. That's his spiritual house. Because this enduring community, we confess, is chosen for eternal life. Of this community, I am and always will be a living member. I tell you tonight, people of God, there is no other community like this community in all the world. No other city that comes close to comparing to the city of God in Zion, because Jesus himself is her saving foundation. He provides her spiritual formation. And he secures for her a certain future, a living hope. And by God's grace, you and I belong to that city. By God's grace, you and I are citizens of that city, living members of an enduring community. And we always will be. A living community who has communion with Christ, who shares in his gifts and treasures, we'll see next week. A living member of a forgiven community, to whom God says, I no longer hold any of your sins against you. An enduring community that we belong to. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you again tonight and we thank you for your word. That through this enduring word that never perishes, you have caused us to be born again to new life. We thank you, O God, for grafting us into your church. You've caused us to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance that is indeed imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, that is being kept in heaven just for us. We praise you, O God, for Christ's continued work in gathering and protecting and preserving for himself this church. That you've made us, the saints of Adoration URC, to be living members. You've given us the promise that of this enduring community, we are and always will be living members. Write these promises in our hearts, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. For our song,